Hey everybody, Dylan here. A little bit of a different setup today with the podcast. A while back, Sunil had a meeting with Felicia Segu. Felicia is a commercial realtor based out of Vancouver, and the two were just sitting having a chat in a coffee shop about the current state of the real estate industry, some trends that they see as relevant given the landscape of the local market. Anyways, here we go. Hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah, so what happened was basically like how that kind of just started was I quit my job in December. So I was actually working for one of the top teams in Vancouver for real estate out of REMAX. So I was with them for about almost 3 years in maybe March, the beginning of March. So I was like, you know, this is run very old school and traditional in the sense of like males up here, males over here, and then females just down here. And I don't like that structure because it doesn't work for a millennial, right?
So, so sorry, say that again. Males up here and then...
The men are up here running the corporation, and the women are just down here.
No, but what was the middle you said?
There is no middle.
There's no middle. Oh, okay.
So very traditional, old school type of way of running business, and I'm not okay with that. I mean, if we're progressing forward, when life progresses forward, you also need to adapt with business in the way the corporate structures are now, not 20 years ago, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, in that sense, I was just like, it was a battle between, hey, do I leave a lot of money on the table, or is it my freedom and my sanity to, like, which one do I choose, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I chose myself because no one else is going to. Right? No one else can make these tough decisions for me. And then I literally quit my job. I went to LA for a week with my dad and then I came back and I was like, let's kick some ass. So yeah, I started my own corporation like right away. I just got everything done and I sold 6 properties in literally like 2 months of quitting my job.
So you did the prec, right?
Yeah, I have that all set up. Yeah. So yeah, like it was, honestly, it's been an eye opener. I've been meeting so many people. I have bigger macro goals in the sense of what I'd like to do in the future. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about freedom. It's all about time. Everyone's doing everything they're doing because they want more time at the end of the day, right?
Who are you licensed with right now?
REMAX.
Oh, so you went to a different REMAX from one to a different?
Yeah, okay. So I was out of Tuwasin before, and now I'm in Vancouver because I'm in Warner, right?
Are you Crest?
Yeah.
Oh, you okay.
Yeah. I kind of stay like more towards the Fraser Valley, but I do have clients that are out of Burnaby and New West more. Vancouver a bit, but not so much. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just stay wherever I need to be. Mm-hmm. It's more about efficiency for myself. And yeah, whenever I run into somebody, it is what it is, right?
Are you going to be like starting your own real estate company, or are you going to just keep the flag for REMAX going forward in the next like 10,
years? Here's where I'm torn. So I don't know how far I want to go with real estate in the sense of selling it. However, I do have bigger goals as to assets in real estate. I want to be investing in real estate at the end of the day, right? As far as, I mean, growing a team, I am kind of working with somebody right now. Her and I actually both quit from the same team. So we kind of both talked and had, you know, mutual discussions, and we see mutual benefits to pretty much working together. So in that sense, I mean, it's not a, like a team, but it's per se like just a colleague, you know, just working, co-working, right?
So let's go deeper. I see where you're going. So I guess you want to be in real estate to be more of a real estate investor. That's your purpose.
Later.
But you're growing towards
short
that.
Short-term
money, I know. It pays the bills. It does everything else. And then you get to learn. And then you get to get involved in real estate purchasing and holding.
Like, at the end of the day, I want to have many active businesses, many of them, because this isn't stable, right? At the end of the day, any sales business is not stable. You know, for mortgages, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. You have to go get your deals, right? I don't mind doing that because I'm okay to put myself out there. I've done it for so many years, right? So in that sense, it's okay. But as far as the long term, I mean, I want to get into manufacturing, makeup, to be honest with you. Like, I like beauty. I like all of those things, right? But it's more of like smart beauty, like smart technology, incorporating all those things into what's coming in the future as far as makeup, right? Right now, it's all the generic stuff, liquid lipsticks and all those types of things, but I want to take it to the next level within technology, so that's kind of how I see it. I want to eventually have headquarters and operations completely separate, so that's kind of what I'm thinking, but...
How do you do that, headquarters and...
Well, you just grow it, right? You grow it so you have your management. Think about Cactus Club, right? So they have their restaurants, but their upper management is in Hawaii.
Oh, right? You mean like holding? Yeah, okay, got it. I got what you're saying, yeah. So you got corporate somewhere, and then you got like the operating, so holding and operating companies.
Yeah. Best way to put it. Yeah.
Cactus. You should use Buffett.
Well, yes, but I'm talking local business, right?
Jim Pattison.
Yes. Oh, he's the best example.
Yeah, exactly. One because he's exactly
Chip
the
Wilson,
way.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Same thing.
Exactly. How do I help? What can I do?
Well, tell
Any
me what
value?
You do. I know that you. I know you do. You educate about ads and social media and all those.
No,
things.
No, that's not my business.
Really?
Not at all.
That's what I was. I was under
yeah.
that impression the entire time.
No.
Oh my gosh!
No, no.
Tell
no.
me about this.
Yeah, I have no experience doing that. I don't. We just run it ourselves.
Okay.
And kind of test how it works.
Okay.
I've tried to hire people to come in to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's hard to find. And then the ones I find locally,
they just start their own businesses.
They're 21, 22, want a six-figure income, and know absolutely nothing. They can probably run ads. But like, how do you convert those ads into leads or into engagement or into like building a company? Mm-hmm. I have no clue. They can run ads based on what? Like we want to see returns, right? Mm-hmm. And not just money returns, but like, you know, brand engagement and building the brand, and then yeah. you know, money as well, but later on. And it's hard to find that here. Very hard to find. I think I have to look elsewhere. And you know what, we're gonna do this for a little while until we get to a point where we can actually afford somebody much bigger, and we'll just bring somebody in that's maybe 200k a year but can really expand not just my brand but the companies I have that I want to grow.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to. You know, my core business right now is mortgages.
Okay.
And not just mortgages, we focus on one aspect. It's private mortgages. Mm. That's pretty much all we do.
Okay.
Construction financing on the private side, commercial finance on the private side,
okay.
or residential financing on the private side. That's
awesome.
That's what we do.
I have a lot of people always asking me about mortgages. Who can get me finance? Because as you know, everything's really tight right now with how things are.
And most of those deals I'll probably have to turn down because I don't do residential, straightforward, mom and
yeah.
dad want to buy a place.
Yeah, no, yeah, those aren't the kind of deals I do either.
Yeah.
I handle more commercial. I'm actually sort of kind of exploring the option of expanding the healthcare commercial sector, so just all dentists, doctors, surgeons, all
good
that.
Market.
Yeah,
really,
and
really good
I
market.
I haven't seen very many females kind of take, you know, control of that market either, right? Not control, sorry, but take initiative in that sense to kind of sell to that demographic and market a certain way.
This is only my opinion. I think it is a mistake for an entrepreneur to buy a building. You're deploying too much capital when you can be using that capital. If it's Berkshire Hathaway that's sitting with hundreds of billions, tens of billions, their money is better spent investing in companies, not in buildings, same as Apple. So I think a lot of these doctors and lawyers, because I know a few of them that we've actually done a lot of deals for, not on the mortgage side, but in the investing side,
yeah.
they're quite smart with the money. It's like, okay, we have this, where do we deploy it? Also, professionals, like in healthcare, they actually have fund managers that work with them, and they're telling them, like, look, real estate, your return in Vancouver might be 6%.
If you're lucky.
If you're really, really lucky.
I've
right?
seen it at 1%.
Yeah,
not
if
even.
Not negative.
Yeah.
Right? I think most of those are negative, right? Instead of investing in Amazon or Berkshire Hathaway or something else, or private mortgage or investing in a company and growing that, right? I think real estate is a good investment for certain things, mm-hmm. but for other ones like entrepreneurship, I don't think for a business owner that wants to grow, I think it's very hard.
Leasing is better.
Leasing is way better.
In that situation,
yeah.
of course, until you kind of, you know, have, I guess, you're more established in that sense. Right?
But even when the people get established, I know investors that are in their 70s own one real estate. That's the house where the wife and children and grandkids are secured. That's it. After that, there's no real estate investments for them. But you're gonna find somebody that's gonna, like, you're gonna find the old school dad that's like my parents. They're pro to real estate. They love it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, we need property, like
yeah.
secure property. There's nothing better
Everybody.
Than that, right? But you
All
know
I
that.
Need.
Right? Yeah.
yeah.
The older generation. The younger generation are a little different, right? Like
yeah.
what the hell am I gonna do with the farm? What am I gonna do with this barn here? Like, let's dump it, let's go, you know, invest in something else, right? So
yeah, right now, I mean, I see real estate two ways. I think there's one sense is if you're growing your business, you don't buy anything because obviously then you have a mortgage. But then on the other side of it, it's like that's an asset, right? So obviously once the equity increases, I mean.
Yeah, but Amazon's an asset.
Well, of course, but what I'm strictly talking real estate. I'm not talking about any other company, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, if you purchase something, there's two ways. I mean, you have to see what your incomes and expenses are too, right? So in that sense, I mean, it just depends on what the end goal for each person is. If my goal is to kind of increase my portfolio and my assets, then of course I'm going to go shopping and buy a bunch of real estate. But if my goal is to kind of expand my business, then that needs to be my primary focus, right? To kind of bring in the cash flow first.
That's what it comes to, right? That's what it comes down to, right? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs will always look at the other side, where how do I grow my business, because the rate of return on that business is going to be much greater. Mm-hmm. Now, where you would win is not looking for the doctors and dentists, but looking for the people that want to invest. Here's the thing with commercial real estate. I think going into the future, millennials are not buying homes. And I think this is not a fad. This is the long goal. If you can tell in the street, a lot of people don't have their own cars.
No.
Have Evos, smart cars, like all this other stuff that they drive. There's rental bikes. We have the same thing from homes. I think there's going to be bigger REITs coming up. And I think there's going to be some smaller ones that's going to be started. And if you can manage that or start your own company.
I was thinking about REITs too, because actually it's funny you brought that up. I was having this conversation with one of my friends today, and I was telling him, hey, look, millennials, there's this whole affordability issue that everyone can't stop talking about, right? In the city of Vancouver.
In the city, yeah.
Right? So then comes, okay, are millennials going to go towards REITs, where pretty much you invest in it and you live in your house, but you don't own it. The REITs own it. Everyone has a percentage and you're sharing it. And I think that strategy is better, actually.
It is way better.
In the long term, it is.
It's not even a Vancouver. We did some research about 6 months ago on this.
Across Canada. Sorry.
Across the world. It's not that it's affordability, because if you go to Idaho and you go to like Saskatchewan or something like that, right? Yeah. You're going to have find houses cheap. It's not affordability for them. For them, it's like, I want this today. I want to live in Cole Harbour today, not 10 years from now. So if I can afford $4,000 rent, I don't need that $400,000 down payment to buy a $4 million property. I can just rent it for $4,000 or $6,000, whatever. Yeah, and I can get like three people. We're going to pay, you know, $1,500, $2,000 each, and we got this place for the year. And then we're going to pack up. We're going to go somewhere else. Another part of the town. And then, you know what? I'm sick of Vancouver. I'm going to go to Montreal now. And then they go there. Then they find somebody.
It's
then
a
go
lifestyle.
Somewhere else. It's a lifestyle. It's a different lifestyle.
Right? Like, it's not being tied down to the same place as the last generation for 40
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
Right? That's
what I was going to say. Mom and dad was always tied down, right? They came, they got one job. They stayed at the one job until retirement, or it closed down and they won't find another job. And that was it. It doesn't work that way today. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm guessing probably in the tech sector, they probably stayed their job 3 to 5 years. And other sectors, probably going to be just a little bit more than that, not a whole lot. As long as, if you have a government job, it's going to be a little different. You're going to be there until you leave, but financial world, and they always change. Okay, real estate is amazing if you are buying it, building it, selling it. Buying it, leasing it, improving it, leasing it, selling it.
Yeah.
Amazing investment.
Yeah. I agree.
To me, that is not real estate. That's real estate investment. That is a business. Now, if somebody is buying just to live in there, and then 7 years later, they want to pack their stuff and they want to move to another town, they got real estate fees to pay, transfer taxes to pay, all this other headache and other taxes and all that stuff to pay, that is not smart. And I think when you look at the millennials that are working at Amazon today, Facebook tomorrow, and then Snapchat Google, some other day, right? And they're always, you know, moving from country to country, from city to city. It's like
it's a no-brainer.
It's
right?
Like a sport player, right?
It is.
Like, unless you're Tom Brady and going to be on one team for like 50 years, doesn't
a contract, or
right? Doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, you're going to be gone in like 3, 4, 5, 6 years. That's why I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I know. I see it the exact same way, actually. Like, I'm seeing so many people saying, hey, I'm renting a place downtown, but you know what? My lease is up because I'm going to go travel the world for 3 years, right? Like, I'm seeing so much of that. I'm hearing so much of that. I'm hearing, hey, I got an internship in New York, so I'm going to go there, try it out, and then when I come back, I'll figure it out. And that's, I think, in my opinion, that's the truest form of life, because you're living. You're doing what you want.
You know why we're going to succeed is because we're on the ground and we hear this stuff, unlike some idiot that are sitting on a boardroom, right, 130 years old, making decisions, right? Like your REMAX guy, right? He's probably like, what, born in 1870?
No, he was younger, but with an old person mindset.
We'll talk about it, right?
Yeah.
That's how it is, right? Or they're, you know, all this information is passed down from...
Yeah.
Well, my parents talk, I listen to them like, okay, this is not even from you. This is probably from the generation prior.
Oh, it is.
Right? And it's coming down now. Like, then I have to rearrange that in my head. I'm like, okay, you know what? Today, what was this? Right?
Because for them, it was slower. They didn't have the internet. The internet changed everything. Yeah. And now we're moving at such a rapid pace. I was actually driving down the street and I was thinking about the trees and nature. When I was objectively observing that, I was thinking, okay, the trees are evolving at time, like real time, earth time. But we are evolving at 24/7 light speed, all of that, right? And it's insane how quick everything is growing. I mean, today, right now, there are deals happening that are going to affect the next 20, 30, 50 years, right? So, I mean, it's crazy to comprehend that, let alone understand what's going to continue happening and what will happen when you see all these changes and all the bylaws and rules and all these things changing over time. I mean, I think Vancouver is going to turn into similar to like in LA. Have you seen all these palm trees planted everywhere? Like that, all of that's going to happen.
I think we surpassed...
Like how there's little hubs everywhere.
I think we surpassed LA. Totally something else.
I think the reference of LA in the sense of like, for example, if you look at Brentwood, like the tallest towers are going up there. Surrey, all the developments happening there. Langley, City of Vancouver.
Got it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. In that sense, it's comparable to LA in that sense, but we are our own thing. I mean, this is seriously the best place to live. I can't see anywhere else that I would want to be personally, in the sense of like community.
For beauty, for fresh air, for progression, right? I like it.
Yeah.
For business,
slower.
It's very slow.
Slow, way slower.
Yeah,
I mean,
just gotta wait.
New York and like anywhere in the States or anywhere else around the world, to be honest with you, it's not this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things happen very fast there.
They're 20 years ahead of here, right?
Yeah. So definitely happens
it'll
fast.
It's just population, right? As soon as the population continues to increase, that's when we're gonna have all these changes, right? Because, I mean, how do you control that population if the people say they want this? I mean, of course, there's politics and we're not gonna get into that, but It's a factor, right?
REIT. Focus on that.
Yeah.
Right? Find the smallest one that you can. Somebody just starting out. And go find them and try to source product for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you work
learn
with
REITs? It? No. Mm-hmm. I've looked at REITs to invest in years ago, but no. We're on the other side, on the mortgage side.
Yeah.
They have mix,
yeah.
Right?
But I'm saying, do you finance any of these?
Nope. Okay. No, never have. That never came across. Usually REITs and things like that, it will be big insurance companies.
Yeah.
Right? The Ontario Teachers Pension Fund, you know, they have, you know, hundreds of billions, and they'll just lend the money to these guys to go and buy. And these REITs that I'm talking about are, you know, buying apartment buildings and not just one, they're buying like the damn blocks and blocks,
yeah. I've seen that too on my sales.
But there's going to be smaller ones starting. And they probably are already.
They are.
Little small ones that are buying houses. And I think REITs are going to stop buying these big towers and they're going to go into neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Or they're going to probably start building neighborhoods and...
Subdivisions, et cetera, in the suburbs. Yeah.
Yeah, they go buy a farm in Langley today. 10
20 acres.
Acres. Yeah, exactly.
And then subdivide, add your own community. It's like a city within a city.
Yeah.
Right? That culture is good. It keeps the community together in the sense of, I mean, if you're looking for like a settled life sort of thing.
If you have that, this is a great way to build brand too. If you, new REIT goes out and buys 20 acres, puts the houses up there, builds schools around it, builds a community around it, right? And then they're flagged everywhere. Like, what else can you, like, you can do anything there.
Yeah. No, it's just,
and you treat
it's just
them well.
Starting. It's just... thinking, okay, where do I start with this? Where am I going to look for this? Of course, it's just research and, you know, your time putting into that. But I have a few other ventures that I'm kind of involved in right now, and just marketing a few of the products and stuff for some healthcare professionals and those type of things. So diversity, that's what I'm kind of looking for.
Okay, so you thought I was doing...
I wasn't sure, to be honest with you. I just saw on your page, it just looked like, because I saw the video you posted about Facebook ads. so I was I'm like, cool. Like, I'm honestly so open. It doesn't matter to me what you do. At the end of the day, it's connection, right?
Yeah. No, I got, I won't go and give advice and tutor on that kind of stuff, but if somebody wants to pick my brain on that side, I'm more than happy to.
There's other, so many things you can do, I guess, in that avenue.
Yeah. How are you finding running ads on Facebook?
I haven't ran so many yet. Yeah. Most of my kind of exposure comes from Instagram, but I know that once my Facebook stuff starts, it'll kind of go. I know which way I want to go with it, but I haven't really set up my page yet, just because everything has kind of been very new.
Oh, so when you post your ad, you don't go through Facebook Manager, Business Manager?
No, well, Instagram. So Instagram's connected to Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they own it.
Yeah. Right through there, but I'm not directly on Facebook. Nothing's been boosted on my end.
Set that up first.
Yeah.
Set that up. Reason being is because that business manager will break everything down. Like how many views are.
Your insights.
Insights are very strong on a business manager.
Yeah.
I look at those numbers daily.
Yeah.
We were just looking at it about an hour ago on how many people are watching our videos, how many people are watching 3 seconds, 10 seconds versus playthrough. Because we ran an ad and then we changed a few things about 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden that ad just took off. Like every day we get like good leads coming in, and one's closing soon here, so I'm really happy with this one. But then we wanted to see how the videos are doing, and the playthrough, I was actually quite happy with it. So people are watching
our
whole
video too.
Which one?
The Facebook one.
Oh, the Facebook one. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, hey, it's him. I have to watch this video.
Yeah, there was like a shitload of it.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as mortgages, I mean, the best thing, I mean, the way you can bring me value, I think, is just kind of just keeping in touch. If I need anybody, I mean, I'm definitely going to reach out to you.
Construction financing.
Yeah. Okay. That's your main focus?
100% right
okay.
now. Yeah.
Awesome. These developers, these builders.
They're always looking for it. Always looking for it. Yeah. Even though they have a shitload of money, they always want to borrow because they don't want to use their own capital.
Of course, because it's just reinvesting into other things.
Yeah, right? They'll find something else that they want to put into, right? That's core. So your parents, your family builds?
They did. We did a lot of North and West Vancouver luxury homes. The last one we sold was in 2017 for over $4 million, just before everything just went down, so we kind of lucked out there. But as far as everything else, we're kind of stepping away from that sector and kind of moving more into just investment and just having cash flows come in, because I mean that side is so stressful and it takes so long and it's just undetermined where the market's
going. You're just tying up so much capital.
You're the first person to invest and the last person to get your money out, right? And that's not the way I want to invest. A good investment in my eyes is something that brings me cash flow every month, that pays my bills, that allows me to live the lifestyle I want to do every month, right? So that's my opinion, but I don't know.
That was the easy one. That was a simple one, in my personal opinion. P&L, you know, building something like that has revenues coming in all the time, and then deploying that capital to the right investment in the long term is where people get lost, right?
Do you do a commercial, I guess, like, when you have a commercial build-out happening, do you lend it based on that too, or what do you...
It depends on the size. If it's going to be like $30 million, then no. But if it's going to be within like $3 to $4 million, then yeah.
Okay.
If somebody wants to, you know, build a standalone for their own...
Or what about improving? Like if they wanted to say
100%.
Like... Yeah, 100%. Okay. Awesome.
Something like this.
Yeah, like if someone just wanted to keep a loan on this, you would be able to finance.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Yeah, we can definitely do something there. Renovation. For us, it's exit strategy. Like we lend them whatever, that amount. How do we get paid back in that year?
Yeah.
Because our loan's only for 1 year. We don't do anything longer than that. Mm. And if that strategy there is good.
For a lot of my guys, that's what
that's all they want. Short-term. It's just short term, right?
Like max is like 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll always do a 1 year term and we'll renew it the second year. We just want to make sure that our, if the market goes down, we're safe. That's all, right?
And that's what you should be thinking and kind of securing your business and yourself that way, right? Because everyone's trying to do that, but a lot of the old generation, they don't understand how to do that, right? It's all, okay, this is what I have, full cash out, sell it for whatever amount, and then just sit back and watch, right? If you get a good deal somewhere, cool. If you don't, whatever.
I was talking to a builder about 10 years ago, and he goes, on the good market, we'll make For every 100,000 on the bad market, we'll make 40,000.
Yeah.
We don't care, right? I said, why is that? He's like, I have no education. And in this world, you need education to get a job. I can speak English, but I can get by. It's not like really strong. Mm-hmm. Look, where else am I gonna make 40,000? So even in the bad market, I'm good. I don't care how much I sell for. He goes, I really don't need the money. I'm doing it more to keep my guys busy. And I'm doing it more so I can keep busy myself. But if I make 20,000, if I make 200,000, doesn't matter. As long as if I don't lose, that's all.
Yeah.
Get it.
That's one person. I've seen so many people lost and burned after the whole speculation, you know, purchasing and all these taxes and all the empty.
They're the greedy. That's the greedy side.
Yeah, and it's sad. I mean, I'm not, like, personally, I'm not interested in kind of that side, but I mean, you never know what someone's true intention is with a property until they take possession of it, right? So, I mean, they might tell me or you one thing on our side when we're dealing with the deal.
That's what happens when you grow too fast, right?
Yeah.
Now, some of them got caught in the late 80s and early 90s, and today those guys are in their 60s, and they knew when this market was slowing down. It was like, okay, we know we went through this, something like this, we're not gonna load up, we're gonna get rid of the properties now, and we're just gonna sit tight, we're gonna be in cash, we're gonna watch when the right one comes in, we'll pick it up. And then my younger ones that are in their 30s right now, they're just going like crazy. Like, oh my God, this guy's dumping that lot. Yeah, there's a reason he's dumping that lot. It's like, oh, I can make so much money. Then they go buy three properties, want to get it financed. They get the financing. Now it's almost complete. Now they're selling at a loss. Nobody's buying.
Because their flip idea didn't work.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But these guys are going to learn for the next time. And next time, like, okay, times like this, we need to get out of it. Same thing in the stock market, same thing in any investment.
Yeah.
And things are going like this. Bitcoin was another one. When things are going like this, you don't jump in, you try to jump out.
Yeah.
And then you wait till it comes down and you buy.
Right?
Exactly.
That's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah. Easy to say, hard to do, because when you got so much emotions going there, right? It's like, oh my God. And they're not looking at, they're looking at the end structure and what that cash is gonna buy them. Not the headache. Everything looks good. Everything looks good, right? Until it's not, and they don't see that.
Well, the biggest thing I'm finding with many of the people, especially buyers, is emotional control. Actually, even sellers, more sellers now in this market, emotional control. I mean, the market isn't where it was 3 years ago, right? Unfortunately, you didn't want to sell your home at that time. So, I mean, you have to go with what is market value, right? Same. It's the same thing for anything, right? Your car, right? You have to go with what's market value for selling your car, right?
The market is the market. It's not going to lie. The market is the market. It's
yes.
Not going to lie,
no.
Right?
No
emotions.
No.
Right?
And it's objective. You have to understand that these are objective investments. And if you can't do that, then, I mean, you have to either learn it and adapt, or you're just going to lose, right? Continue to. I mean, it's scary to say, but a lot of the older generation is still stuck on, right? They don't have emotional control, right? It's, I want this price because I want to buy this Lambo, I want to buy this Ferrari, I want this and that because my sons are breathing down my throat, right? So it's not the way to go about life, I mean, in my opinion, especially in finances.
Cut them right away. Just cut. That's one of the greatest things that I learned in business is...
You don't have to deal with those type of clients.
I walk. I know exactly the clients I want.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times I turn it down. I was like, sorry, if somebody's rude to me, I don't deal with them. I don't care how nice that deal is.
I have to do that too. I released a client, like my first listing actually, I had to release them because the daughter and the father were just going nuts, absolutely nuts. And I'm like, okay, this is now just discrimination and I'm not gonna deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Here's the release, sign it, goodbye. I'll mail you your keys.
Exactly.
Right?
And then go. I'd rather go do something else.
Why would I waste my energy here if I can put it here and then progress forward, right? Not financially only, just personal progression, right? Business progression, every other way progression.
This is the thing for young realtors, young mortgage brokers, young entrepreneurs, right? Right now, the main thing is work within the community that you feel comfortable in. If you don't feel comfortable there, or if you're not respected there, then leave. Right? If you're gonna be stressed and depressed and mad and like, why? Like, business is not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be fun.
you're supposed to create it into the lifestyle you want.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle you're meant to live, right? Like, I'm not the kind of girl that wants to sit at a desk 8 hours a day, 9 to 5, no way. Huh. I want to be able to, you know, wake up early because I want to, right? I like doing that. I don't have to wake up till 10 a.m. if I don't want to, right? But at the same time, hey, like, time, right? So I'm managing my time. Yeah, I'm doing family stuff in between. Maybe I'm seeing a friend or having a meeting, but at the end of the day, it's, I know how to manage my time and being efficient with it, right? And getting your work done at the end of the day. I think a lot of millennials have that work ethic, but I don't think that they're kind of understanding how to manage your time. I think maybe in their later 20s, maybe mid-20s, something like that. But I think it comes with personal experience
too. Yeah, they're the younger ones. If I look at the millennials that I know that are in their late 30s, they know how to manage time very well.
Yeah.
This kid here is a millennial. He's mid-20s. Early to mid-20s, he knows how to manage his time very well, right? So it's just, it comes down to the person. And, you know, a lot of the older ones I know, I think that is more of a, holy shit, I'm at this stage of my life, I need to organize stuff, and they will.
Yeah.
Happens fast.
I agree, it does happen. I mean, everything you need is on your phone. You can YouTube how to manage time. Simple. Anything you need to Google is right on your fingertips, right? Anything you need. If I need to find a parkade, it's on my phone.
It's on your phone. It actually guides you how to go.
Yeah, and walking. Yeah. Walking. It tells me where to walk.
Walking everywhere.
Walking everywhere.
Before, you know, since I was a kid, I was always in this area.
Yeah.
Up until like 10 years ago, maybe like 5 years ago, when I see like people that are like tourists that come, and they're like looking for something, like, oh yeah, I'll help them out. What are you looking for? Now I don't, right? Because they pick up the phone and Google does a better
job than you can.
Yeah, oh yeah, way better job than
even
I can.
Translation, right? If there's someone.
Oh, Google Translate is great.
I know.
I had so many conversations over Google Translate.
The best. You don't even need to hire a tutor. You just Google it.
Like, yeah.
Everything, anything.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Even in the last 20 years, how far that's even.
I don't even think school should be teaching. I think it's a waste of time.
I agree. And you know what? The bigger corporations are having universities and campuses in their corporations. That's why I'm saying headquarters versus operations. That's why I want a headquarters.
Got
because
it.
At the end of the day, I want to educate. I want to show people, hey, there's a way to understand and actually grow in your life without having to go to a traditional school. If that's not your thing, it's not. Don't waste your time, right? Use it where you actually love it. If you like to make, you know, tattoos, or if you like to draw, if you like to paint, go to an art school. We need to be encouraging people to be doing these things and be expressive, right? The millennial generation is expressive.
That's the culture in the company. That's the corporate culture,
yeah.
Right? And that doesn't have to be, that can be just done within the organization.
Yeah.
Google has done it.
Yeah, EA, the best one locally is EA. I mean, have you been to their campus before?
The Burnaby one, yeah.
Yeah, it's literally like a university, right? I mean, people are more inclined to not only stay, but they actually love it there, right? They want to be at work on the weekends, right? It's not that you have to be. I think it just needs to be a lifestyle,
yeah.
Again, right?
That came from Google.
Yeah, well, everything, right?
Yeah, core, yeah, definitely. Hey, okay, we're gonna jam
thank
here.
Thank you so much. This
no problem.
So
thanks
great.
For meeting.
Yeah,
just that one ad did it, right? It's like, oh, like she's in the neighborhood here doing everything. Yeah. Like, all right, let's reach out.
Yeah, I totally love connecting. I mean, I'm happy to have met you and just you as well. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
good.
Let us know if I can do anything.
Absolutely, I will. I have your card, so now I can just shoot people your way.
Sounds good. Perfect.
Thank you so
perfect.
Much.
Perfect. Not a problem.